Good morning. And as I mentioned, I have with me Superintendent of Schools, Robert Boyle, and he is here to tell us a bit about school safety, what they have in place there, and in the event of an emergency, kind of what school the schools offer. As I understand, some of them are emergency shelters.
Right.
So we're going to speak a bit about that. So I guess start off with assuring us the schools do have a plan.
Sure, we do. As a matter of fact, we have multiple layers of plans, and the thing to keep in mind is that the school cannot do all of its safety by itself. It's in collaboration with the city and with the borough. And so that collaborative effect is what gives us the district-wide planning. So a lot of times people ask me, say, hey, Bob, what is it that you do up there as a superintendent? And I like to say that essentially I have three different things that I'm required to do. The first is look after the physical safety of children as they become students when they come up to the school. And then the second would be the emotional security for students to realize themselves in a safe environment. And then the third thing is to provide high-quality education to each and every student. Now, with that, I spend, obviously, the majority of my time on the third. But unless we get to the first two aspects of the school operations, we can't get to that third. So we have a lot of different plans and processes in place to ensure that physical safety. For example, yesterday was in-service day, and if you would have been up at K-High, Assistant Principal Mike Rath was leading a group of K-High staff members through the emergency planning processes that we have. If you go into any one of our teaching classrooms, you'll see a bright red emergency preparedness procedures handbook hanging on the wall. This is something that the borough sponsored for the school district several years ago, and we use this as our methods of conducting emergency fire drills, earthquake drills, and then what you might call the red alert or lockdown procedures in case of intruders or threats to the school in that aspect. So we have those. And then in addition, we have a handbook for administrators. And again, that's a bright red trifold type of manual that flips through to you select the appropriate emergency that you're running through, and then you can flip to that side and walk through the procedures that we expect our administrative team to conduct. So that's from the physical aspect. Is we were planning yesterday, and you'll see us conduct fire drills on a routine basis, and then earthquake drills. In particular, in October is called statewide. It's the shakeout program, and the school districts participate in that for the last several years, where we take that dedicated day, and I think it's on the 19th this year. So at 10:19 on 10:19, we will be conducting earthquake preparedness response drills for parents. We're trying to communicate with parents in a multitude of ways. First is a flash alert, and we use that when we have a significant and immediate disruption of school schedule, such as if we were at school and we needed to close out for snow or changes in bus routes or whatever the schedule change would be, we'd start off with flash alert.
And I understand that everything's getting switched over to something called Nixel. Is the school still going to do flash alert or join that program?
Currently, at this time, we're still looking at flash alert. And when Nixel comes around, I don't see that we won't. You know, it's I've talked with the Fire Chief Abner Hogue. He's been leading that. And it's a strong program. And so we may very well go there. We haven't made that preparation yet.
Okay.
One of the reasons why is because the district also has its own internal messaging system called School Messenger. And if your child is a student at any one of our schools, parents have the option of signing in and becoming recipients of direct communications from the school if something is specific for your school. Flash Alert gives us a district-wide quick distribution of information. And we can use School Messenger that way. But School Messenger also allows us to be more precise. We can target students on specific bus routes, for example, if that's what needs to be done.
If there were a large-scale emergency, let's say an earthquake, and a certain area was cut off, mm-hmm. so perhaps students can't get home, are there procedures in place to care for those children, to get in contact with their parents or caregivers?
Yes. We have the plans for the communications. Thank goodness for cell phones. That means that physical landlock, if it's something like an earthquake that causes that type of a shearing of regular communications, we can still cell phone people out. We hope that that'll be helpful. But Point Higgins School has its own generator, so we can that's proven very worthwhile when we've had power outages around anywhere north of town. We're able to conduct business at the school. Recently, we just installed generator out at Fawn Mountain, and now that entire school, it takes about 15 seconds from the time we lose power to the school being fully operational off of that generator. And so it's set up and able to act as a shelter in place for whatever is necessary. And then not quite a year ago, we put in a full generator up at K-High. And again, it's about a 15-second lag time. So K-High was always an interesting thing because we'd lose power. And, of course, you know, that we have a lot of students there and a lot of activities and programs running. And so that was always an issue. And then, now with that new generator, I like to say it is able to be, I call it a world-class shelter response place. My office is actually wired up so that any of our emergency control people can walk in with, unplug their telephone, if it's a voice over IP type of phone, walk into my office, plug in, and they'd have their office number on the phone in that office area. And there's a table set up so that we could have probably 8 or 10 citywide response people working out of that office off of that type of a phone system. So we have that control. And then with the power and uphill from K-High is a water reserve tank. We can maintain water, electric, and shelter hundreds, thousands of people, you know, in there if necessary.
Okay, and those are designated evacuation shelters?
Yes.
In the event of emergency?
Right. That's
okay,
correct.
So you have north, south, and in town?
And in town. So in any direction, we're able to respond. We did have a small response here recently. Was it 3 years ago when the cruise ship in town broke down? We got a call from the borough. Could we feed shelter people? I made one quick phone call over to our culinary and our school lunch program. Thank you for reading the menu here just a few minutes ago. And we were able to say with confidence that we could, you know, feed several hundred people up to, I think they were looking at, if I remember, 3,000 people potentially for a lunch program and then shelter them at K-High. And we were able to do that and within just a few phone calls. Now, that never materialized. The other plans came into effect. Cruise ship passengers apparently wish to have something more substantial than the brown bag lunch, you know, served in the commons. And they were able to airlift all those people out within, I think, 24 hours type of thing. So they ended up staying on the ship and leaving that way. But we were able to respond. That's potentially one of the largest impacts I see, you know, in town is if there is some sort of I'm trying to look, knock on wood type of thing, a cruise ship response necessary. We have the facilities to house a large number of people from out of town for a short period of time until a larger response could be generated by the state.
And that's interesting because that's not something I had thought about, but that would be a huge impact if, say, a cruise ship is stuck here and for some reason they can't get the passengers out, that could be 4,000 additional people or something in town. And where would they all?
We have a lot of really smart people in this community. I regularly attend the local area emergency planning committee meetings, and people from the troopers, Coast Guard, borough officials, city officials, hospital officials, people from around the community meet regularly to review what their various organizations have been doing and what they can do, and then to have a local area emergency plans, response plan put together. And so we have people that are brainstorming all kinds of scenarios that could potentially happen within our community, and the school district's actively involved in that. As I like to say, I've got the keys to, you know, potentially some of the greatest resources that the community could need in an area-wide emergency. So we're specifically looking at taking care of our students. That's the most likely scenario, is we need to house students for a period of time, whether it's 6 or 12 hours or, you know, something of that nature. But we're also prepared to react more generally to the community should it be in need. And they're community facilities, so we feel that obligation to make sure that we can do that.
Okay, and it sounds like a lot of prep in place. Anything else you wanted to mention?
Well, just, you know, as I mentioned, you know, school safety is a big deal for the school. I mean, that's the first priority. It's not just in the planning, but this summer we had a big construction project going out in front of the Houtling School. That is a response to emergency planning, not emergency, but safety planning, really. We had multiple near incidents and one minor incident that took place with students being either in jeopardy or potentially hit by cars in front of Houtling. It had grown over the years. Houtling School, of course, was built back in the 60s. Originally, the road out in front of the school didn't even go all the way through. There was a path on, I think, at the north end of the school street, with K-High evolving and the community growing to the north and the traffic patterns emerging, things had changed. And so what had been successful in the 60s and probably the 70s had gradually, slowly evolved into a very awkward and dangerous situation for students. Through parent initiative, and that's one of the reasons why I'm so pleased to be here on the radio, is we got to have our parents working with us. We really, truly value that. But through a parent initiative, we started looking at all the issues that were at the Houtling School. We tried parent volunteers for crossing guards. We did crossing signs. We did a number of things, and it just didn't mitigate out the situation. So thanks to the borough and collaborative effort from the school district borough liaison effort, meeting. That committee meeting is at noon today, by the example, so we meet regularly with the borough on that effort. You'll see the Houtling School has re-engineered, if you will, the area in front of the school. We had a little bit of a hiccup there when we started, but my explanation is whenever we start school at Houtling, you know, with kindergarten through grade 6, we have parents that have experience, if you will, in dropping their children off at school. So they're trained, they know how to do things, and so it works pretty smoothly. And you could have 7 years of experience by the time your child graduated or left the Houtling School. This year, when we started off, we only had zero experience because nobody had ever worked that system. So for the first couple of days, it was awkward. Our timing was slow. But thanks to the staff, collaboration with parents, we've now got that down to a 10-minute window on releasing students. And the separation of students from traffic is significant, and it's very, very good. And we're really pleased that we had the support of the borough and the state. The state's picking up the majority of the cost off of that. It's going to be a $900,000 project. The state's going to pick up $600,000, borough about $300,000. Now, the interesting thing is we needed to replace the steps in front of Houtling anyhow, and that was going to be $300,000 that we wouldn't have got. So essentially, by kicking off this project, we're going to still pay for replacing the steps, but we get all the rest of it, courtesy of the state.
And I have heard mixed, as you're saying, kind of mixed reports on how that's working, but you're saying it's
getting better. Getting... We just need to keep practicing it, and we'll take parent feedback again on how we're doing it. The staff is analyzing how it works. We're still in the construction process, meaning that the steps in front of the school are not done. And so there's a number of distribution issues at the end of the day that need to be improved, and we're working on those. But we're confident that that's going to work out well.
Okay.
In addition to that physical safety, such as the generators that we've recently installed or the new traffic area around Houtling, is then the visible part of physical safety. And I just want to give a shout-out to the city police department. The school district, K-High, in particular, has had a school resource officer stationed in the school, and that's been a number of years now. I think it's 4 or 5, and the city police department sponsors that. That's worked out, we believe, very, very well for our community, because not only does it assure people of how things are operating within the school itself, but the police department creates a quality relationship with our youth, so as they become the adults in the community, they know that they can work with trust and be very confident of our police department. So thanks to the city for that. So like I said, it's borough efforts, it's city efforts, it's parent efforts that make it work. One of the things about the resource officer and the local emergency planning, all that comes together, is we are continually trying to make sure that school safety issue is paramount in what we do. K-High is probably, I think, one of the most active buildings in the community. All year long, school year, there are, of course, you know, our 600 students and staff and parents coming and going, those type of things. Then the after-school activities programs, the auditorium draws people. And so there's just a continual use. And then that continues through the summer. I mean, Giggle Feet. I mean, there's just a number of programs that run in the summer as well. So we've had that discussion with the public. What do you want K-High to look like? Because there are so many openings in that school to lock and bar all the doors, install all of the security apparatus necessary to make sure that there's no access to the building at various times, would potentially, or this is our conversation, create an atmosphere that's not what our community is looking for. So we believe that if we have to maintain a certain degree of openness within the school, that the appropriate thing for us is to have as quick a response time to any type of incident at the school as we can. And that's where the police department has come in so strongly with us. They have that presence in the school, and we can literally respond instantly in that regard. If a resource officer is not there, we have strong communications with the police department, and we are confident in their ability to respond to our calls in less than 2 minutes. So that's what we've done. We made that compromise between setting up a prison atmosphere in terms of security, a certain degree of openness, and then the ability for law enforcement, if necessary, to respond quickly.
Okay, well, I thank you for coming in. We are out of time. We're at the top of the hour.
I had one little thing, if I can. And with school starting up, I just want to remind people of the cautiousness around our buses when they're out. We worked with first students this year. You will notice that when those swing arms go out to stop traffic, yes, there are cameras on those. And yes, if you do go around the bus, your license plates will be photographed and somebody will be talking to you. So, I mean, that's a degree of security as well, safety for our kids. So everything from our support contractors, city, borough, is working around to make sure that we have that physical safety. And parents can sign on to Flash Alert, School Messenger, our Facebook, our website, and you'll see that that's one of the priority things that we're looking for.
Okay, and that is a good point. The students are out there. The buses are out
there.
So
please
drive,
be careful.
Drive carefully and do be cautious.